Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
They lost all the lawsuits, and then they're just continuing to be like, well, we'll just go back to before we had the lawsuits.
With SI's Pat Forty.
Even by the Daily Mail standards, they must have been sitting there saying, you're kidding me. We really have this story?
Here's Pat and Dan.
Welcome to the pod, and it wouldn't be an off-season pod this year without discussing collectives, name, image, and likeness, transfer portal. We need a good conference realignment. Yeah. Something more fun than this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, that, like, yeah, the teams that are going from the AAC to the Big 12, we need some sort of, like, contentiousness there. Like, maybe Oklahoma and Texas try to stop them at the border, you know.
Yeah. Could we get, like, a coach and cheerleader story going or something like that? Can we get some kind of something fun? Anyway, it is the big topic, and your colleague and our friend Ross Dellinger had a story this week about the NCAA or college leaders. It's really the same. Everyone wants to blame the NCAA, but they never want to blame their own AD, which is always funny. Who do you think makes up the NCAA? are going to create a committee that will, quote, gearing up to issue a warning to hundreds of wealthy boosters who are using name, image, and likeness ventures to involve themselves in recruiting. University administrators, part of a task force to review NIL, are finalizing additional guidelines that are expected to clarify that boosters and boosters-led collectives are prohibited from involvement in recruiting. Multiple sources tell Sports Illustrated. There's all sorts of tumult about coaches saying it's no... Here's a Pac-12 defensive coordinator told On3, it's no longer about culture. We have kids come to our school on a visit and say, we love you, coach, love your scheme. It's a great fit, but what can you offer? I doubt they're that brazen, but that's probably putting it together. Everything's about money now. These guys are upset. They're calling NIL. Now it's legal. It's pretty funny. Yep. Although normally when things become legal, people don't complain about it. They go, this is great.
Right.
When you could buy weed in like in many states, including the state of Michigan. I've not heard people talk about how this is terrible. They're like, dude, I can get weed delivered to my door now.
Like, well, if you go back, like when they repealed prohibition, I think the Women's Temperance Union was still kind of like aghast.
Yeah. So. This is an example of the coverage of the sport being top down, not bottom up.
There you go.
I guarantee you the parents are not complaining.
Right.
No one's going, no, this is terrible. We need some, I need guardrails. I need guardrails. We might make money.
Yeah. Stop us from making money, please.
Task force.
Yeah.
Great quote by BYU coach Kalani Sitake. Quote, I don't know if a young 18, 19-year-old is supposed to have that much money in their bank account. you might blow $100,000, therefore let's not give you the $100,000, then you have nothing to blow. Well, if I blow the $100,000, I'd have nothing, right?
Yeah. There you go. Yes, you should remain with nothing because you might end up with nothing.
I mean, do they run these quotes through their head before they say them?
No, and it shows.
This is feudalism. This is
the coaches are swimming in the deep end a little bit here, and completely tone deaf and unrealistic to their own situations, where, you know, like, okay, yes, now we need responsible spending. We're going to hear this in college football. Like, we should responsibly spend this more. That money that's going to the players that they may blow, we should instead spend it responsibly on a waterfall, a miniature golf course, a lazy river at our football facility, the biggest championship rings you could possibly make to put on a finger. Give me 100 of those. Give me 100 diamond-encrusted massive championship rings. That's responsible spending. Don't let these private kids jets, blow the money.
Country clubs.
Yeah.
A staff so big they had to say you have too many coaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this is
47 analysts.
You know what 18- and 19-year-olds have tons of money? The 18 and 19 year old sons of college football coaches. His dad's rich.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm not sure you should have this much money. Well, your kid's going to have it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, Sataki's a good, he's a great coach, but I mean, it's just, I can pick a million of these quotes. But the bit is that they're going to try to, they're going to try to do this. There's now a lot of regret amongst the administrators. They had not somehow seen this coming, no matter how many federal lawsuits they lost, and how much this was obviously growing, how many legislatures around the country legalized it. So we have, here's a quote from Bob Bowlesby, still the Big 12 commissioner. These collectives and booster groups, all of the people involved with them would be considered representatives of athletic departments. Our proposal included a provision. This was a provision that was not adopted, that the school couldn't be involved in matchmaking the deals and putting student athletes on deals to avoid inducements on student enrollments and transfers. Seems to me we would have been infinitely better off had we gone ahead and implemented the guardrails. At least we would have provided some guidance. So they're going with the, we're going to try to stuff some of this toothpaste back in the tube because we didn't do our job before. Can they do it, Pat?
I don't know how. I mean, how exactly are they going to do this? How do you, pick your idiom here. Toothpaste back in the tube, genie back in the bottle, horse back in the barn. I mean, none of those things are going to be very easy to have happen now that the guardrails never went up to begin with, and everybody now has commenced doing business this way. I think it's going to be really hard to enforce. It's going to be hard to, first of all, get people just to stop doing things the way they're doing. But then secondly, if they don't stop, how do you catch them and how do you enforce it? How do you penalize them? I mean, we've seen decades of NCAA feebleness when it comes to trying to police its rules. So, and if they do what the Transformation Committee seems likely to do, is just basically tell every conference, make your own rules and come up with your own way of doing things, that isn't going to necessarily fix anything either, because the conferences don't want to be in the business of any enforcement. They don't want to, they want to be in the business of making money. They don't want to be in the business of having the commissioner being the bad guy saying, state, we caught you cheating and you have to miss the Peach Bowl this year or whatever. That's just not the way the conferences got out of that game. They don't want to get back into it. So if there's a way that they could possibly put up the guardrails and have them actually work, great, but I don't see how.
You know, I would tread very carefully if I was this group. I don't like the guardrails. Again, it's completely one-sided. All these complaints are just hysterical. I don't know. I mean, every person that applies to college, the colleges literally throw a bidding war out on how much scholarship money they're going to give different people. Baylor has a deal where they pay two women who go to the school who are social influencers to post TikToks and stuff about Baylor. I don't know how this holds up in court. I don't know how you'd ever enforce this. Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, lawmakers updated the state's NIL laws. It's an AP story.
Yeah.
Allowing NIL groups to talk directly with university officials, current and prospective student athletes.
Yeah.
This, and state leaders said this gives Tennessee universities a competitive advantage in comparison to other states. We have the state legislature getting involved in SEC recruiting, basically saying, ha, Alabama.
Exactly.
So the new law says that the collective can talk to the AD and the coaches and the players.
There you go.
So can NCAA rules work with that? I don't know. I mean, NCAA is a voluntary organization to join. And obviously no one's leaving the NCAA. And if there is a, and you can say, well, I hate the NCAA, kill the NCAA. Well, there's going to be something like the NCAA.
Right.
I don't know how any of this would possibly work. How would you enforce this? Okay, you have like, I run the collective at school X, and I can't call up the top, I can't call Arch Manning up, say, hey, that's what I want to give you. But somebody else, I mean, it's just, how are you policing this web of people?
I don't think, that was the funny thing. Like, okay, if you go back to last summer when all this first came into being, even then, I mean, like, I'm getting people sending me pictures like, yeah, you see this guy sitting on the prospect's golf cart? That's the biggest booster at school X, and he's not supposed to be there talking to him. Well, now we've blown past that, I mean, those sorts of things have now just, there's no, that guardrail ain't getting put back up. So, I don't see how you possibly get your arms around this now. And so I don't know what they do. I really don't. I have no idea what the future is going to look like in this space.
Let it run. That's what you do.
Yeah.
They would never allow guardrails like this with themselves. No. Like some of this stuff with the Jordan Addison and the tampering, you know, like what's tampering? Like anybody who has a job, right? Let's say you're under contract throughout your career, or even if you're not under contract, you just have a job. Invariably across your work career, you talk to somebody at another company and they say, hey, maybe you'd ever be interested in coming over here, or what's your plans for the future, right? Like this, yep. Just that's just American adulthood,
right?
it can be teenager working. If you're working at McDonald's and the Burger King guy comes in and sees how good you're handling the register, they try to hire you to their register. How are you stop this? Why would you stop this? So if anybody came to you in your entire work career and said, hey, you know what? Would you ever be interested in working our I cannot talk to you about this. This would be terrible. I have a contract. Like nobody does that. These are, I know it's chaotic, but just deal with the chaos. You guys are making tons of money. Is there a better system? Yeah. The NFL system is better. The NBA system is better, but it's still, there's all sorts of tampering. There's all sorts of side deals. There's all sorts of stuff going on.
Right. Yeah. Like as soon as free agency hits and those things, it's like it takes 8 minutes for his first huge signing, which means there was tampering going on.
Not even. But, it's like they, over the years on Twitter, it's like as soon as midnight or whatever hits, there's tweets flowing out. I'm like, oh, okay.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, and there's Kevin Garnett talking to Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry. Hey, we got two max deals in Brooklyn. They weren't even part of Brooklyn at the time. Like neither one was in Brooklyn. Let's go to Brooklyn. We both got, okay. Well, you know, here's the thing about sports. It doesn't always work out.
Right.
They haven't done crap in 3 years. And Milwaukee and Boston, which drafted all their guys pretty much, beat them. So, you know, I don't, obviously I understand talent wins out. I feel like they're just chasing their tail trying to do this stuff rather than, I don't know. I don't know how in the world you think you're going to be able to police that, or why anyone would expect you to be able to. You cannot have any contact. Like there's too many people in the world. Like, all right. So what's a booster? They've defined booster in the past as anyone who went to the school.
Right.
So does that mean if I talk to any kid who's a high school football player, I'm a booster for UMass, which I wouldn't give a dollar to?
Yeah, we know in reality you're the anti-booster for UMass.
Like if somebody asked me, it's just it's hard enough to. I think they need to have I said the other day, you have very serious tampering rules with coaches and athletic administration, and maybe that curbs it a little, takes a little heat off. But this is what it is. Like, it's like they lost all the lawsuits and then they're just continuing to be like, well, we'll just go back to before we had the lawsuits.
Yeah. Right. And that's the thing is like an almost just a refusal to face that this is the new world. Okay. And let's adapt to it and let's try to, you know, make the best of the new world as opposed to, no, we got to go back to the old world. We can't do this. We can't do this. It's like, it's too late, man.
The screams of like chance. Christmas treeing your homework before you hand it in, you know, like everybody else has got, they're like trying to copy. Oh, that might work.
It's pretty wild. You know, like when the walls came down, they came down hard, and the chaos inside the walls now is just amazing. The lack of like any idea of how to respond, how to proceed, how to go forward without doing anything other than saying, this is terrible. We got to do something.
I thought this was an interesting angle on it. We'll see how long it lasts. But John Calipari has kind of gone Dabo. John Calipari William and William Christopher. Christopher.
Yeah. You had sorry, it right the it. First time.
Did I say it right?
Yeah.
Dabo?
Yeah.
How do I normally say it? Whatever. Of all people, I mean, I gotta say, I'm a little surprised. Says he's not, they will not set up a deal to recruit a player. Now, he talked to TJ Beisner. This interview is classic. It's who's their director of player development.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. Okay, it's a story. on NIL in Kentucky. This is Beisner's words. Our basketball program has and continues to be ahead of everyone else. I know. These are the conversations with recruits and other schools. We just don't flaunt on social media because we don't need to. It's Kentucky. It's the biggest stage for everything. Cal hired me, a non-coach, to his coaching staff for this very reason, and we have done better than anyone else. But we will not guarantee money as an inducement to anyone ever, period, because we don't need to. And we haven't missed out on anyone because of that. Our stance continues to be there is no better place on earth for a young person to develop as a player in person, and now there's no better place for NIL. We target players and families who share that vision. Some don't, and that's fine, but we are confident. He later said he talked to Cal, and this is Cal's quote, "I've pushed for NIL for 10 years publicly, and no one is more supportive, which is why our players are making more money than anyone the right way. NIL won't hurt us and hasn't for any kid we've really wanted," all caps. "If NCAA or federal government makes changes, we'll adapt and continue to lead." So what they're saying is when you get to Kentucky, you can make millions of dollars a year, real sponsorship, NIL.
Mm-hmm.
Basically pay for play disguised as NIL. But we're not going to sit there and say, "I've got $2 million for you if you come here." And they're counting on their player development, their track record to get guys to the league, and everything else that goes into being Kentucky basketball to survive that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You sound skeptical. Yeah.
Kentucky's not going to pay anybody to come there to play basketball. That's what I'm hearing. So that's a departure, I kind of think, from the way things have happened in the past. Well, I am just going to, you know, suggest that perhaps, given what we know about college basketball, that people, I don't know, I mean, you could throw out some names of some very high-profile players that went to school there. John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Anthony Davis, Julius Randle, the Harrison Twins, et cetera, Carl Towns, Trey Lyles. There may have been, you would think, maybe, I don't know, some stuff that might have happened there. I'm not suggesting anything
specific. Well, were they paid by Kentucky, or was it there's always been the pay by Kentucky, or there's been agents are paying them and we just look the other way, or I don't believe he's gotten in trouble at Kentucky.
Yeah,
we can go back to the Emory envelope.
Yeah,
at Kentucky, or we can go back to other times. But
let's go back to the bottom line here.
This on its face going forward, besides the potential hypocrisy of a college basketball coach saying we don't pay. But let's move on going forward. He's basically saying we ain't doing it. And he thinks he can build the same way Clemson does. I don't know whether that'll work or not. Seems like Duke's getting all the players right now.
We'll see. Yeah, they're getting. I mean, John Shire has owned Cal in recruiting and in staffing now because he took Jay Lucas off his staff. I mean, if that's the way Kentucky's going to do it, good luck to him. Maybe it'll work out fine. It's just kind of funny coming from Kentucky.
Well,
kind of coming.
It's notable. It's notable. Mm-hmm. I think it's like this, like. The thing with Calipari, I guess, it stands out why I want to say this. He's not saying this is outrageous. This is insane. We're losing recruit. Like, he's not complaining. He's just saying we ain't doing it. And I at least appreciate that sentiment when everyone else is screaming into the heavens that this is so unfair.
Well, that's fine if that's your sentiment. I'm not sure it's a very productive sentiment to have. I mean, we'll see. I don't know whether it's going to work. I guess I would say, you know, and I, you may get your collective to say that, but hey, if Joe Booster out there says, by God, we got to get this kid, I'm giving the kid the money. I'm not going through the collective. I'll just go to the kid myself and give it to him. Then they'll do that.
I don't know.
there's a long tradition of that. I mean, go back to Kent Benson in the 1970s in his campus visit.
I think like Jeff Ruland was promised a horse.
Okay? Yeah.
Like back in the day. Look, I think you're hung up on the Kentucky. I said it was a little outrageous. It was a little wild that it was on Kentucky. But their sentiment. At least he's not complaining. I guess that's my thing. Just say, you know what? We'll deal with it. We'll figure out another way. We're not into this.
Yeah.
Now, again, in 2 years, when they're in the NIT, you might have to change your thing, but
hey, they would have loved to have been in the NIT 2 years ago.
Better than Kalani Sitake going, I don't think an 18-year-old should have money, this much money in his bank account. Like, what are you talking about?
I agree. Yes. I mean, that's fine. If that's the stance Cal wants to take, again, I just don't know whether it'll be very productive for him whenever everybody else is not playing that way.
It's unilateral disarmament, but
hey. Yeah, never really not usually a great idea.
All right, Jordan Addison officially in the portal. It did happen.
It did happen.
He did not immediately sign with USC.
No.
Now, there could be two reasons for that. One is that he's seeing what else anyone else wants to offer, or B, it would have been really stupid to sign with USC the first day.
Right. After accusations of tampering, maybe you don't just jump right
in. Yeah, do a sham recruiting visit somewhere. Like, pretend. This is like when the NFL teams do the Rooney rule when they've already got, like, somebody signed up. Pretend you're interested into, you know, some other school, and then you go to USC. But that one is still out there.
Yeah. It's funny, too, that the wording that came along with his entry into the portal sounded very similar to Caleb Williams' wording. No decisions have been made. Going to take a lot to get, take our time and really look at things and evaluate things. And I bet he still ends up at USC.
Yeah, I think Caleb might have helped him write it, too.
Well, yeah, he might have just said, here's what I said. Why don't you say the same thing? Okay, got it.
And again, the belief is Caleb was the one who's done a lot of the recruiting here, if that's tampering. And that can't be tampering. I mean, A, they're both from the same area, but if one player wants...
They've done this since high school, too. You're the first five-star in the boat in a school. You're going to try to pull everybody with you.
Of course.
They want that. That's the whole point.
And like, if your friends from the same area, you know, one's from D.C. and one's from Maryland, I think that's basically from the same state. And then what's to stop them from talking and they already have a relationship, you know?
Again, this is how life works.
Yeah.
Bro, it's awesome out here.
Right, yeah.
You should come.
Yeah, would love to be throwing passes to you. Hey, sounds pretty good. I'll take
Why
a look
would
at
Caleb
it.
Williams want good receivers? Yeah, I mean, look, I get the shock, but this is what it is. It's travel sports. Everyone switches teams every year.
Yeah.
Travel sports. You're on this baseball team. Someone else takes, we need this guy. He's a third baseman. And even though you're not in our state, I mean, it's just, you got the one time thing. That's why whatever they're going to come up with here, I don't know what they would have come up with before that would have worked, but now I just don't see how it does. But they're going to try. I just, you know. It's a few quote unquote guardrails, but all the quotes are always from people who are upset. And I just don't generally when people get more freedom and more opportunities, they don't want them taken away. They're happy about that. Again, like it's just the way it works. Sports wagering. There's nobody. I'm sure there's somebody who got addicted to sports wagering or whatever and is in trouble, but most people are not sitting there going, it's terrible. I'm very angry that I can pull out my phone and bet the over under goals on an NHL game tonight. Nobody wants stuff taken away from them. I don't know how this is going to be possible, but all the complaints, I haven't heard a lot of players complain. I haven't heard any players say, you know what? I think I should have $0 in my bank account.
Yeah, no, they're not complaining.
And if they, so be it. They don't get to say, I think you shouldn't have $0 in your bank
account. Right. I mean, the one player that we know of who expressed some disappointment or dissatisfaction was Isaiah Wong at Miami because his NIL deal wasn't as good as the incoming player from Kansas State, Nigel Pack. So, all right, well, maybe he's going to go augment his NIL deals elsewhere or he'll just deal with it.
All right, last one on NIL and recruiting. On3 had a story about coaches stunned at how much money top quarterback recruits. I mean, we quote James Franklin in here, who just signed a deal that pays him $9 million a year.
Yeah, after a bad year.
After a bad year because Michigan State. I mean, this story is great. Basically says the story and the idea that Nico Iamaleava, the quarterback out of California who's going to Tennessee, is getting $8 million over essentially 5.5 years because I think he's getting paid now and he's only a junior in high school. By the Tennessee collective, at least that is the belief, whether that is accurate or not, has set the...
He did have a ice cream social when he was in town at a very specific ice cream spot that you can come sign some autographs. So,
okay. Yeah.
So he's an ice cream social. How wholesome and innocent. Yeah.
It's worth $8 mil.
Yeah.
That's a lot of ice cream.
That's a lot of ice cream.
Anyway, the, He is, because one guy got money, all of a sudden all the other quarterbacks are looking at, and their families are looking and saying, well, if he's worth $8 million and I'm better or close to as good, I'm worth this. I mean, here's an SEC recruiting coordinator. These are college football coaches saying this. Everything is based on what Nico is getting.
Nico set the market.
The number being out there, 7.5 and 8 million for 4 years. What we're seeing is everyone wants Nico money. They want that Nico number. Okay, here's another one. Nico
number. They want Nico money. That's the best recruiting news of in the history of Tennessee football right there.
Yeah, right. They want that Nico number. What's Arch Manning going to command? Oh, he's going to get double. Here he's going to get a double Nico.
Here's a source to On3. It's almost like a pride thing. They want to get paid. They want to say, my kid's worth this, and it changes our family's lifestyle. That's not a pride thing. That's called,
that's called basic business. That's how we all go about the business.
How dare these families want to become millionaires? It's such a foreign concept in the United States. What? I want to change our family's lifestyle. In a country where we have people worth $200 billion and still want more, right? And I don't, that's fine. Here's an SEC, another guy from the SEC, unnamed. They saw Nico get all that money and they're thinking my kid's just as good, if not better. Everybody saw Mel Tucker get all that money and they go, who the fucking Mel Tucker doesn't want anything?
Exactly. That's,
this is these quotes. Come on. You got a point. Okay, there's a there's a point here where you're like, dude, this is kind of crazy. We got to try to drum up like $7 million to pay this kid. We're not really even sure if he's that good. I get it. I don't want to be in that business. I get it. But you're stunned that families are looking and saying, hey, that's the going rate. I would like that. Coaches who renegotiate their deals every year.
Like when Mel Tucker got that contract, agents and coaches were dancing everywhere. Like, oh, well, hell, if Mel's getting that, then I'm going to get this. James
Jimmy
Franklin
Sexton was popping bottles left and right. It was like, oh, my God. Mel Tucker.
The best thing about NIL is we're going to get Randy Edsall type bonuses in some of these. You know,
How good would that be?
Oh my God. And quarterbacks are going to be like, I'm running. If I run for a first down, I get $750.
Exactly.
Bucks
I'm checking at the line because I'm 28 yards away from a bonus here. We're throwing this thing downfield.
The end of the NBA season is all that, right? These guys get in for like 10 seconds because they collect like $200,000.
Gronk. Yeah.
Tom like Brady miss on purpose. So you get an extra rebound, right? The gall of college sports and college football coaches complaining that people see a market set and then demand more is just unbelievable. And this is where you lose the argument because people like me get distracted by the stupidity.
Well, yeah, the
I don't blame you for wanting more money. If Mel Tucker gets $8.5 million, you're Kirby Smart. You're going wait.
Yeah.
No problem. If you're Ryan Day, you go, hold on now.
Hey.
If you're Jim Harbaugh. But I'm fine with them. You can't then say, well, what are these guys doing? Of course they want more money.
Yeah. You know what you want now if you're like, if you're a hotshot high school quarterback and that quarterback's family who has the gall to perhaps improve their lifestyle? You want Nico to go to the quarterback collective with your kid and have your kid outplay Nico there or outplay him at Elite 11. Or whatever, and then you go and say, well, you know, my kid was the MVP of Elite 11, not the $7.5 million guy, so what am I going to get here? That's what you want. If you're Nico, you might be better off just putting it on ice and saying, I don't need to go to the collective. I don't need to go to Elite 11. I got my money. I'll see you at Tennessee.
Got my money. If you are...
I got Long Beach Poly tickets, so he needs to still play the season. I'm going to be a... I'm not
are you
going
to start
game.
Going to Long Beach Poly games?
Absolutely. High school football in Southern California is just amazing. I'm a big fan of Southern California football.
What if they put him on a pitch count there? I'm only throwing 10 times a game and I will not run.
I mean, sure. I'll still go watch the first quarter.
Right.
It's 20 minutes like down my street.
Become the Amani Bates of football, right? You screw it all up. Amani expected to go to Louisville. It's like 14th school in the last 11 months. It's working out great. That's the thing. Yeah. Some of these guys are going to screw it all up.
Oh, they will. They'll screw it up.
look who just committed to Tennessee. Very similar story. Old Brew McCoy.
Oh, my gosh.
He got mentioned last episode.
He sure
did. For being a bust recruit at Texas. Now he's transferred from USC to Tennessee.
Yeah, that's school number three.
All right, so they're upset because the money's really big for quarterbacks. It's going to get bigger. And again, it comes down to, like, there's a reason that Patrick Mahomes makes 40-something million and Andy Reid makes like seven. I hate to break it to the coaches, but you're no longer the most valuable person on the team.
Right.
And for an entity that for years made money because you could make your players wear a certain brand of shoe, you just don't have a lot to stand on. When you were paid more money by Nike to outfit a grown man than coach the actual team, I don't know where you're going with this. Yeah, these QBs are going to be worth a hell of a lot of money. Trevor Lawrence was worth a lot of money. They were in the playoffs. When Trevor wasn't at Clemson, they're not in the playoffs. Now, football's a team game and all of that, but you just, like, there's just got to be a point where these complaining stories are like, come on.
That's these coaches and administrators, I don't think, they don't understand the full depth of the hypocrisy involved here, and because they're out of touch. They don't see the world the way people outside see it. And so they really do think that, yeah, this is like the end of their civilization.
This is we need guardrails. That's where we're at. So we'll see what happens over the weekend. Yeah. All right, here's an interesting story from college basketball. Kind of cool. It's Matt Norlander story on CBS. 22 of Division I's 32 conferences are going to try to clear a week of their season, like mid-February. Expect to play a away game and a home game. It's just kind of like the old bracket buster thing they did for NCAA. Mm-hmm. Now, none of these will be the major conferences, at least.
Right.
The top six, because they've got too much money in the TV deals. But they could presumably get to the Mountain West and the Atlantic 10 and, you know, those kind of leagues that have some good basketball. And an algorithm, they would have like a selection Sunday, and an algorithm based on how their season is going would pair up all the teams on an even thing. So you'd add two quality non-conference games and kind of add some pop to the middle of the season when people aren't really paying attention to those. Like, it's easy for a Gonzaga or a, I don't know, whomever to jump in and get like a good early season. Oh, we're playing Duke early in the year. Or we're at this Vegas, right, you know, little tournament. The Maui Classic, but mid-February.
I'm stoked for bubble teams.
It's good for bubble teams to add an extra game.
I mean,
thoughts? I don't know how this could be a bad thing. So.
No, it's a great thing. I think it's fantastic. It is good on every level, unless you are the eighth best team in the ACC and you may be threatened because two good teams from like the Missouri Valley and A-10 are going to play each other and get a quality win. So I don't think most of us have a whole lot of sympathy for the eighth place team in the ACC in general when it comes to NCAA tournament selection. So I think it's a great thing. It does help those conferences. It is good, unique, like outside the box thinking and good TV content, you know, interesting games, but matching good teams that will help them. There's nothing wrong with it. And I think one of the big errors college basketball has made in recent years is just failing to capitalize on various points in the schedule by delivering good TV content. You know, when college football ends on a Monday, with the championship game, like the next Tuesday, that week, people still want to watch sports on TV. Give them 5 days of great games on college basketball. They're like, this is the way we've always done the schedule. There'll be some good ones. There'll be some bad ones, whatever. I would look to really ramp up that point. You get to February, Super Bowl ends, some more audience comes in. And that's where you get something like this that brings in a bunch of really interesting games that will have NCAA tournament impact as people start thinking about who's in and who's out, and Dan gets mad because Joe Lunardi cranks up, but people are watching that stuff about who's on the bubble and who isn't. But I just think it's a fantastic idea. Brian Thornton, the WAC commissioner, I've known him basically a little bit since he was in high school in Louisville, Kentucky. He's from Louisville, went to Eastern High School. Smart, smart guy. Worked for the NCAA. New commissioner there, young guy, and he's made an immediate impact, I think, with this very good idea.
I'll go one deeper on this. I think they should turn this into some kind of a some kind of a tournament. And maybe you break off the, if you're in the, if you're ranked in the top 16 or something, or the top 8 at least, of the whatever the algorithm of the participating things, play 3 games in one site, get, hand out a trophy.
Sure.
Get an NIL deal so the players get a kick.
Yeah.
Right? Somehow reward the players. I know we've already, you know, stopped that.
Oh, my God. Why would you even think of that?
Because, like, you know what I like about soccer, internet, like European soccer? They get, they have all sorts of trophies.
Yeah.
They're always competing for something. And they may not be the ultimate prize, but each one matters, right? Like, winning something matters.
Yep.
And we get that a little in college, but like it means something to win like the preseason NIT or the Maui Classic a little bit. But put one in the middle for these mid-majors. You could probably turn it into a single event that would get some a decent crowd.
And good media coverage. Hell, I'll go.
Good media coverage. Put it in Indy or something.
Yeah.
And drum up some, get it on TV. People love one and dones. Like the people will watch like that basketball tournament for $2 million.
Yeah.
You know, do or die. There's something to play for. You win this trophy. The team that wins gets some money. Everyone's going for it. The gambling interest will be there. It just create an event for the non. If you're not in the power five or six, do that and say, you know what? I think this is going to be better. I think it's like next year, if you have Houston playing Gonzaga and there's $1 million on the line somehow or some amount of money and a trophy that you want to win. But I bet then all of a sudden it's like, this is fun.
Sure.
I don't know. Find a way to make it fun. Make it not look like a college basketball game or something. I'm not quite sure because I'm thinking of something. But usually my ideas are tremendous. And I don't know why college sports hasn't hired me and paid me Mark Embert money to solve all their problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep waiting on that. But this I like the idea. And you put it in Indy. Do it on a week when Butler is on the road twice and play it at Hinkle. Indy has very recent experience hosting a multi-team tournament all right there or where, you know, put it wherever that's the city to do it and have them 3 games. Yeah. And you got quarters, semis, and a final. You never have a third place game if you want. Hell, you can have fifth and seventh place games if you want, but you have your own little Midwestern Maui Invitational in the middle of the year.
I think COVID exposed the scheduling, just ridiculousness of, where we could do this on a dime. And we could have really successful matchups very quickly. So why aren't we doing this every year?
The Mid-Major Midwest Maui Invitational. Mid-Major Midwest.
They did host the Maui Invitationals. Like, wasn't that good? I moved
Asheville,
1 year.
Asheville, North Carolina.
It's like, dude, we're in the Maui in a couple of years. Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be fun. I think you'd end up getting like some rivalries too, because it'd be kind of the same teams.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Try something. Let's do something, college basketball.
Yeah.
All right, Pat, before I get to the couple stories I have here, Derby.
Yes.
It's Derby week. First off, are there any names in the Derby field that are making you very, very angry? I know you have a... That's a trigger. It's a trigger, right?
Absolutely.
Is that the word the kids use?
Yes. No. Like last year on the pod, I was completely outraged at the presence of soup and sandwich in the field for the Kentucky Derby. And appropriately, soup and sandwich finished ass last in the Derby last year. If he had gotten a better name, he would have finished better. I promise you. So, but now this year's field, there's nothing quite that offensive. The name I like least is probably Mo Donegal, M-O, Donegal being an Irish word. And it's like, the big problem we're looking at here in horse racing is Uncle Mo was a really good horse and has been a very productive sire. And so now there's just horses all over the place named Mo. And Mo is not the most regal horse name, okay? And that's unfortunately now been foisted upon us and will be for generations. So I am down on Mo Donegal as a horse name. It's actually a nice looking horse. It's pretty good. Won the Wood Memorial, but he drew the number one post. So
you got to keep your dad's name.
They do a lot of that. And I don't know whether that's, you know, involved with part of the breeding agreements or not, but there's a lot of that where names just get handed down, you know,
it's kind of like Medina separately. Like when, like all of a sudden everyone was named Shaq. Because all the people are like, Shaq's a great name. I'm going to name my kid Shaq.
Shaq and when Jalen Rose.
I'm not saying Shaq sired all the Shaqs out there.
Several
thousand
Jalens, yeah.
Yeah, Jalen, right? Jalen, and they think Jalen Rose claims his mom invented the name.
He does. I know it.
There's no Jalens before Jalen Rose. I've talked to him about this.
I know.
I mean, that's pretty good. This woman in Detroit has a baby. Jalen's a good, solid name, too.
It is. Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just a nice sounding name. How did no one think of the word Jalen?
I don't
know. Five letters. It's.
Yeah. My oldest son had a friend he played basketball with named Jalen, and his dad, I believe, named him because Jalen Rose put the bug in his ear.
You're not going to put your pick here. You're going to do it on the horse racing gambling pod. Is that right?
That's correct. And under Sully's orders and discretion, this pick has been reserved for that pod, which you must listen to, everybody.
Yahoo Sportsbook Daily. Tune in.
Like if you want a good name to bet on, like I don't like Happy Jack. That's a bad name. I'm not, you know, first of all, I'm kind of anti-happiness to begin with. And then Jack, it's just too best friend. So, but the Wetzel pick in terms of horse name is Messier for the great hockey player. Since you're a hockey guy, you can bet Messier. I am on name alone, Epicenter. I like that name, and it's a really good horse as well.
All right, let's get to, I have two stories here. One is very sad and involves killing chickens.
Oh, boy.
Which we'd like when making a sandwich, but.
Yeah, but this was not.
Certainly
this was
not opposed.
In order to make a sandwich, I take it.
No. So there is a town, Ocean Springs, Mississippi, a rooster, which turned up to be named Carl, showed up.
Questionable names. Okay.
Carl would hang out at a tattoo parlor owned by a guy named Matt Stebley. Carl would wake up and mosey around town. He'd go over the bagel shop. They'd feed him. He'd wander the town. He'd often go to the donut shop. He would watch people go into a fitness class at 5:30 in the morning. People took pictures of Carl. Everyone loved Carl.
This is the most southern story we've ever done.
Yeah, Carl the Rooster was very popular, a larger-than-life figure. This is per the Washington Post. This is a story in the Washington Post, okay? A larger-than-life figure in the city of 18,000. He was iconic, is the quote. But last week, Carl went missing. Days later, an investigation revealed what happened. Police say a woman who worked as a juvenile corrections officer snatched Carl, killed him,
what?
And dumped his body in a neighboring city. Yeah, very sad.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Kendra Schaefer was issued a citation for animal cruelty, a misdemeanor. She was also fired from her job at the juvenile detention center.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Like, what? This woman's out here just murdering chickens.
Yeah.
Not to make a sandwich.
No, but just to be a sociopath. I mean,
she does not need to be working with the troubled youth of Ocean City, Mississippi.
Yep, throw her in the slammer.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We expect the individuals employed by the Jones County Sheriff's Department to perform their duties and live their lives in a professional and honorable manner. Well, they don't know that Alabama woman helped that dude escape, right?
That's Carl was so much more than a rooster, Rob told the news station. He called the bird a pillar of the community.
A pillar of the community. That's quite a community when the town rooster is a pillar.
They're going to have a parade line, like a funeral line, like in the
second line thing. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Pour one out for Carl.
My question. Yeah. Pour one out for Carl. The question is a misdemeanor enough? What is the punishment should go down to this Kendra Schaefer?
I mean, I'd put Kendra on a slow boat out into the Gulf and say, you're not allowed back on dry land. You're out. Kick her off mainland America.
Just make her live on a boat.
Yeah, something. I just get rid of her.
That's the penalty for killing a rooster?
Yes. Get rid of her. She's out.
All right.
I mean, there's no jail time involved here?
This person is nuts.
I would put her in the actual... I would fire her from the juvenile center and house her in the juvenile center as one of, like, the troubled youths now.
I don't think you want a 35-year-old woman in there with those guys.
That's a good point. Good point. Yeah.
Good point. But... No,
she definitely needs more than a misdemeanor. This is a weird person.
The entire town is emotionally scarred. Like that alone is a civil suit.
She has not just killed a rooster. She's wounded a town. I mean, come on.
That's
taken down a pillar. A pillar Unbelievable.
Two corrections. I mispronounced the town in Alabama. Maybe not.
Yeah, there's
Flowerton or whatever. I'm not even going to look up how to say it, but in case you care.
Yeah, Flomaton, I think you said.
Flomaton, I'm saying it wrong. Whatever it is, maybe I'm saying it right now. I don't know. I don't really care. Just saying. Some people were a little upset with that. Second, I had a compliance director reach out to me. Uh-oh. I don't know if this person wants to admit that they listen. So I'll keep an anonymity. But Scott Frost, five-day work penalty it's championship season. It's called basically in season.
Correct. Yeah. I was corrected on that today out of Churchill Downs by
I had that wrong. Someone. So too. Scott Frost is suspended for 5 games in season. Doesn't have to wait for like the Big Ten championship or a bowl.
I had that wrong.
There is a $10,000 fine though. So Slippery Noodle Night, better than normal because it's usually only a $5,000 fine.
Right.
The NCAA staff is going to be drinking it up.
They can go top shelf now on their cocktails.
Can go top shelf. All right.
So Scott Frost can wait until like the week of the North Dakota game to do it, basically.
I don't know. I don't know that anyone cares if Scott Frost is working or not. He should wait until he's bought out after the Oklahoma game.
And then you should serve your five games.
All right. This story is it's slightly above PG, I guess. Maybe not really. But you're forewarned if you're in the car. And
I don't know where this is going either, listeners, so we're all on guard here.
I have not told anybody about this story, so that's your warning, okay? If you can't handle this, it's great juvenile humor. As you know, I'm a big fan of the Daily Mail in London.
Oh, yeah.
I think the finest thing about the internet is I can read the London tabloids every day and get great joy. If you don't read the Daily Mail every day, I don't know what you're doing. All right, here we go. I'll just read it. How about that?
Okay.
A man. So let's just put it this way. You open up your Daily Mail. You're on the underground in London. And here's your story. A man who spent 6 years with a penis on his arm. After an operation went wrong. What? Needless to say, went wrong. Has revealed the difficulties caused by the unusual placement. includes struggling to cuddle his grandmother.
Oh, come on.
And burning it while cooking. What? Those are some of the difficulties. Malcolm McDonald, 47.
This isn't real. Come on.
This is the Daily Mail.
It's real.
Very reputable. It's real.
But there's a picture of it's like he's holding his arm up like he's a falconer and it's just like all blurred out.
He is. Yeah, it's blurred, which is kind of, I mean, if you're reading this far, you kind of just want to.
No, I don't want to.
Okay. He appeared on Channel 4 last night. I don't know what date this was. That's a big channel in London. On a show. You want to know what the show is called?
Freaks
the
of
The Man
England?
With a Penis on His Arm. That was the name of the show. The Man with a Penis on
They're
His
really,
Arm.
They're really, really, really got it going on in London.
If I'm running through the guide and I see a show, The Man with the, I'll probably watch that show.
Kind of like 10,000 pound, 10, or 2-ton sisters or whatever it's called. Like, you're okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He had the thing amputated from its proper spot or more traditional location, shall we say. I don't want to judge.
More traditional, yes.
After a blood infection caused it to decay. So he had a real tragedy.
Holy moly.
But he could have it grafted onto the skin of his arm in a 50,000 pound operation. So he got it.
I have so many questions. Come on.
Well, during the surgery, didn't work out. So it was stuck to the arm, but then hospital lays followed by the COVID pandemic, man, it stayed there for 6 years. He wanted to get it off, but COVID. He says it's made his life miserable.
What did he think was going to happen? It wasn't going to be miserable?
There's a lot here.
There's a lot.
Really. the whole thing, he ended up becoming homeless and did a lot of drugs because there's been a lot of problems in this story. He was like, you know, everything was going along okay. All right.
Gets worse.
Sorry. I can't even read some of this stuff. It gets even worse. All right. So to get to the problem areas, he revealed the difficult and embarrassing situations he faced, including it falling out in the supermarket. He accidentally hit his own grandmother in the face.
Falling out of what? I mean, like,
I slapped myself in the eye with it. It's dead weight. When you cuddle your nan at Christmas, you hit her in the eye.
Oh, my God.
I went to Waitrose. There's an old lady there that needs some help, and it fell out of the bandage, and it fell out on her head. I could have given her a heart attack, mate. When I'm cooking, it burns. I can't use the back hob. These are English terms. Of course, I feel less of a man.
This is one
he also like... had. He was a keen dart player, but that has been.
Got to switch arms for that. You need to go to your off arm. Even by the Daily Mail standards, they must have been sitting there saying, "You're kidding me. We really have this story?"
Well, Channel 4 put it on the TV there. I would play the audio of him, but he's got a super thick accent. I'm still confused on why it ever went on the arm.
Yeah, no, that's like, we got to rewind here a little bit. Just like, okay, something goes wrong down there. You get this infection or whatever. That's the solution? Like, you take it off there and somebody says, let's just put it on your arm. And you're like, okay, sure. Like, what are we doing here? Why is this a solution? Why is this an alternative? Any doctors out there listening to this? If John Bobbitt is a listener, talk to us.
Maybe he thought he could get it reattached. It's a little confusing in here.
He did get it reattached the daily... in 2021.
Oh, that's... Okay, so it was like... It was in storage. Yeah. It was in storage on the arm.
It's like when you grow sod somewhere else and then...
and then you transplant it. Holy night.
This documentary is incredible. Again, the quote, he just... It's too thick to... You got to really pay attention. But don't look too... Yes. Anyway, England's just fantastic.
People do some stuff there. And then, so it's transplanted onto your arm. Does it have feeling? Does it have sensation? Or is it just...
I don't believe it did. No,
okay. No. But then, so you're going to put it back and it's going to work?
Yes.
I think the fact that it threw off his dart game is the funniest part.
It's a big problem on the London pubs, you know?
He says, explain it.
Now it's gone. He says, quote, but now it's gone, the little bugger.
Yeah, he's just got scars on there now.
Okay.
Talk about the hugging man, the cooking, and my dart game is off.
It's quite a tale of woe for our man.
Anyway, this week in the Daily Mail, there you go.
It's just our pod 2 cents of advice for people. If you're gonna, you know, if you got that problem, I feel very bad for you, but don't just like go with the arm transplant.
At least hold out for like Netflix. Don't take that Channel 4 number.
You and the youth quarterbacks out there, hold out for more.
They're trying to improve their life.
How dare they?
All right. That's our pod. Enjoy the Derby. Enjoy your spring weekend. Canelo Alvarez fight. Cinco de Mayo this weekend. Everything's good. Thank you for listening. Please continue to share us and sending us absurd stories because we span the globe here.
Rest in peace, Cole.
You get deep in the offseason and it all kind of goes off the rails. I got nothing. Talk to you later.